Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, Singapore's Smart Nation push is well underway, and coming to the fore is the adoption of 5G, IoT and other new emerging technologies. Now, CommScope is a leading infrastructure solutions provider, and Gary Newbold is Vice President Enterprise for Asia Pacific there.
Well, he joins us to discuss key considerations for buildings, connectivity and technology for the smart cities and smart campuses of tomorrow. Well, tell us, Gary, what about the current state of smart cities in APAC? I mean, Singapore is located in APAC region.
That's right, it is. And thank you for having me on today. So we're seeing a huge growth across the whole of APAC in smart city adoption and 5G networks. We're seeing it across in South Korea. We're seeing it here in Singapore and also India. So there's a lot of investment going into this marketplace over the next 5 years. By 2025, there'll be $800 billion spent in smart cities alone within APAC. Mm. So you can see that's a huge marketplace for us to operate in, and a huge opportunity for cities across Asia, including Singapore, to really take advantage. This year, we'll see $1 billion spent between Singapore, Tokyo, New York, and London. And that's just committed this year in the smart city development. As you just rightly pointed out, Singapore has a head start in that and is already developing its networks now.
Speaking of that, though, a new development or recent one earlier this month, a Minister for Communications and Information, S. Iswaran, talked about how instead of two, there'll be four 5G networks being rolled out, two full-fledged ones, two smaller ones with limited coverage. How does that change sort of Singapore's transformation into a smart city? Accelerates it, or will more challenges come up, Gary?
That's correct. You hit the nail on the head there. It accelerates it. So originally there was two fully-fledged networks planned for the island, and that's actually quite difficult to get completely across in every space. So if you're going to do 5G in a smart city properly, then you need to cover every location. Making four licenses instead of two enables there to be two smaller networks that are more easily presented across the island. Mm. And businesses will be able to take opportunity to develop that and to use those frequencies. So what it does overall is, the easy way of looking at it is, it accelerates the smart city adoption within Singapore.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the challenges to look out for, Gary? I mean, and also, what can we learn from South Korea, which has rolled out 5G already?
That's a really good question. The challenges are covering the whole of the island. So,
but we're so small, that should be quite
true.
Helpful.
It does help. It's really a defined area, so being small does help in this case. But in terms of operating the infrastructure that's required, you need to cover every inch of the island. If you think about driverless cars, for example, which is the vision of smart cities and 5G going forwards. If you've not got an area covered, then a driverless car has issues around that environment. So the issue really is coverage and delivering 5G to everywhere. Singapore, I think, is in a great space based on the fact it is small. You can manage it easily, and you should be able to cover the whole island. When you think about places like India and Korea, they've got pockets of 5G. So it actually becomes more difficult then to give complete services across large areas.
Let's talk about key infrastructure or building considerations for smart cities, Gary.
Okay, so from an infrastructure perspective, we've already talked about 5G. In order to provide 5G, you need a fiber backbone across the island. That'll be provided by the service providers. They'll deliver that across the island, presenting 5G to homes, to businesses, and to roaming individuals. Everybody these days has a device, or maybe more devices. If you look at India, for example, you will see 59% of the population have four connected devices at any one time.
Wow. So that's
four. That's right.
A smartphone,
laptop, iPad, watches.
I see.
All kinds. It's incredible when you think about that, and then you think about the adoption rate. It's really a phenomenal growth. So enabling that across the island, as we've already said, making it super low latency. So when people are delivering or receiving services, they don't don't see any delay at all.
Across their own devices, where they are.
But access to information. So both of those things. So you don't want to have an area that is less covered than another, because you want the same service delivered to every individual across the island and every device that's receiving. And I say devices because it's not just people anymore. It's cars. If you saw last week the Velocopter presented in the Marina Bay, that eventually will operate on a 5G network that's got lots of sensors and lots of receivers on it.
Right.
They all need to have low latency, no delay in receiving information.
My pet feeder,
So that really is the key. Singapore's got a great advantage in terms of fibre to the home. We're already 90% covered.
Fibre connected,
That's against 80% for China. So we're already really ahead of the times and the competition, but it's getting to that final stage, which is important.
Great, great. Well, Gary Newbull is a Vice President Enterprise for Asia Pacific at CommScope. Well, Gary, tell us, what benefits can citizens expect from a smarter city?
Thank you for asking that. So, first off, it's access to real-time information. You know, you walk around, I'm sure you notice it, everyone's got their head in the phone, everyone's got information flowing into their phones already. But as we move forward into a 5G environment that's a fully incorporated smart city, it becomes more important to deliver that information in a timely fashion. So part of the smart city or smart nation initiative from the government is all about time saving and cost saving. So if you think about traffic, the super intelligent systems that monitor traffic will divert you, depending on where you've put your route destination in your sat nav, it will divert you for a quicker route. In terms of intelligent homes, it will provide everyone on the island with an opportunity to save costs from heating, water, lighting, that kind of stuff.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely. How many times have you gone out and you've left your air conditioning on? You realise when you're 10 minutes into your trip. So soon you'll be able to turn it off remotely. And then more importantly, if you think about the benefits of from an individual perspective, if you're an elderly person and you may be unwell, in the future when we've got a 5G network in a smart city, rather than having to go to the doctors when you don't feel like going out of the house because you're unwell already, you'll be able to have a link into the doctor, you'll be able to do a diagnosis online and across video, and that's the kind of benefit that we really are seeing. And there's been some studies that have been done that say that an average individual in a fully smart city environment will be able to save 125 hours a year in terms of wasted time.
Wow.
So that's actually 5 days. So it's almost like a week off holiday for free.
One can't even unplug anymore.
You'll probably find they just go online more.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think businesses, though, Gary, are adequately prepared for 5G rollout and the future of work, in fact?
Yeah, I think if you look at any business, no matter really what industry, there's a view to the future and how it will be developed. The 5G trials are starting now this year and going through to 2023. Most businesses have an opportunity to prepare for that time. And there's always a headline about driverless cars and robots, so that kind of thing that snap all the headlines in the press. But more importantly, businesses are trying to understand how it will benefit them. So when you talk about augmented reality and virtual reality, those type of applications will be able to help workers do their jobs more effectively and more efficiently. That's obviously an opportunity for the company to be more effective, and that will just give rise to increased benefits to them in terms of profitability, but also then in additional safety aspects like air quality, power failures, those things. Businesses are already thinking about that and already ready to take advantage of that kind of environment.
Well, Gary, we've talked about the advantages and the good things that happen, the benefits, but who is most likely to be left behind by a smart nation push?
That's a really good point.
I hate to be stereotypical, but you know, maybe the older people,
right?
Like my mum, who refuses to use her smartphone.
That's not stereotypical at all. I totally agree.
So, it's not fair. It's not all old people who are like that.
Yeah, it's not fair. My father's 78, and he's more on his iPhone than I am. But it is a really good point. So Singapore, as part of the Smart Nation Initiative, have identified that there will be people like that who are not necessarily fully trained, and there'll be a bridge to to fill that gap. So there'll be training courses both online and in person that people will be able to go and understand really what a smart nation brings to them and what smart city features they'll be able to use. Mm. So I think that businesses will be no problem in terms of not being caught up, but some aspects of the population may be a little bit behind, and so that the government have identified that and provided training courses for people to get up to speed with where they're going to be.
So it's really a case of you have to digitally transform, because we have actually spoken to some smaller companies who might still be using the abacus and Word, Excel maybe, or that sort of thing.
If you want
to stay competitive.
Yeah, it depends on your environment, I suppose. If you're selling fish at the fish market, then maybe you don't need to be fully IT aware. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very industry and vertical dependent. So I think once in any environment like that, once one player goes, then everyone else has to follow. Yeah. So I think businesses will easily adopt and adapt to the changes, but they need to start now in order to prepare for it.
How does CommScope come into play in this regard? How accessible are your services?
Okay, so CommScope have been around for 40 years. We're a global provider of network infrastructure, and we operate in every country virtually in the world. We have 35,000 employees, so we're a very big operation. If you track back a little bit to the history, cities used to be built on rivers, and then latterly they used to be built on highways. What will happen in terms of smart cities is they'll be built on infrastructure that can cope with the communications that will be demanded by both members of the population and also the businesses. CommScope are here and now and able to provide world-class wired and wireless infrastructure to enable cities to be prepared for that eventuality and to be successful going forwards.
Gary Newball, Vice President, Enterprise for Asia Pacific at CommScope. Gary, thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.